Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli wa sallimu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Nabiyyina wa habibina wa qurrati ayunina. Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi afdalus salati wa atammu taslim. Amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوني وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I remind myself, and then all of you all present here, to bring in a life of taqwa, and that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success and victory in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Today inshallah ta'ala I would like to touch on a few important points in regards to dua. You see, when you take dua as a concept, as something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, it is the most powerful tool that a believer has with him or her. It is this beautiful link, a divine link that we enjoy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a communication link where we are able to put forth our pleas and requests unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is, most of us today, we understand the importance of dua, so I don't have to spend a lot of time in that regard. We know the virtue of dua, we know the power of dua. But it's just that we perform or make our duas in a very, we almost drone away with our duas in a monotonous way. There's no spirit to our duas. You see, when you read the history of the people of the past, the pious people of the past, the righteous people of the past, they would compose their du'as. They would compose their du'as. They would literally write their du'as down. If they were to undertake a journey such as Umrah, Hajj, and I'm sure we are all familiar with the feeling, people come to us and they do what? They tell us, oh, please make du'a. Please make dua for me, make dua for my children, make dua for my new business, make dua for this, that. So many things. Oh, it's an illness perhaps, a financial difficulty. And what do we do? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don't worry, I'll make dua for you. Don't worry, I'll make dua for you. And then that's it. Subhanallah. In a way, firstly, we're not fulfilling our responsibility of making dua for that individual. And that's why certain other people of the past, what they would do is they would discharge the responsibility then and there. Then and there, when someone tells you to make dua for that individual, you make dua for that individual. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. May Allah open doors of goodness and prosperity for you. You make the dua and discharge your responsibility then and there. And then there are those who go to, perhaps an umrah or hajj and make a blanket dua. But that is at least something. Blanket dua. Oh Allah, whoever asked me to make dua for them, answer their duas. That is something, at least it is better than completely forgetting about the individuals. Because it is almost a promise. Where you say, okay, I'll make dua for you. But the righteous people of the past, they would actually take down the names of the individuals, the requests of the individuals, and they would sit in dua. They would compose their duas. There were people, there were scholars who would literally go, spend time in like serene locations where they are not disturbed, and they would compose their du'as. Because this is something that you are going to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to take time to think in regards to the request. Just think about it. If you are going to put forth a request to some powerful individual, a request letter, would you just ad hoc, haphazardly send the letter? No, you would spend a lot of time using the right and appropriate words to make sure that the request letter achieves the desired effect. So this letter is to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you not think that you have to spend some time composing your du'as to add spirit to it? Actually think, what do you want in life? What do you want to achieve in this life as well as the hereafter? Compose your du'as in a beautiful way. And then on top of that, you need to also follow certain etiquettes and guidelines in regards to making sure that the du'a is sent across in an appropriate manner. With sincerity, in a state of purity, facing the Qibla, raising your hands, with all of those, you know, adding those dimensions to your dua. And then we also have, through the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's going to be the main focus for the sermon today, there are timings and places, special timings and places, where you stand a greater chance to be heard and for your dua to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from now onwards, the ahadith, the narrations that I'm going to be mentioning, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have either been recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Imam Muslim rahimahullah, Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, or Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. All authentic narrations, and the narrations go along the lines of these words. We have a narration that teaches us where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us during the depths of the night, every single night, by the way, every single night, during the depths of the night, as the creation sleeps, what happens? Closer to dawn, that is the last third of the night, our Maker, the King of all kings, the Lord of all worlds, He Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, "Is there not anyone to ask of me so that I may give that individual?" Allahu Akbar. "Is there no one to seek forgiveness of me so that I may forgive that individual?" It is a special and powerful time for you to put forth your du'as and for your du'as to be answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us, an individual goes to the Prophet and asks him, "Ya Rasulullah, which du'a or when is the du'a heard the most?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to tell that individual that there are two timings basically. One is between the adhan and the iqamah. Between the adhan and the iqamah. So for example, all of us, we were gathered here in the masjid. We were blessed to hear the adhan from within the masjid. And now you have a short period of time between the adhan and the iqamah. Now this is a time that you need to seize, this crucial window, you need to seize it to make dua, to compose your dua in a beautiful way, because your dua is going to be answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, and the dua after the fard prayers. Now this phrase of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been interpreted in two ways, if you will, by the scholars. Some scholars are of the opinion that it is the dua put forth right after the salah. In other words, after giving the salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And now you raise your hands and you make dua. And there are some scholars who are of the opinion that it is just before the salam. It's a technical difference of opinion based on the words used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith. They are of the opinion that it is just before the salam. So basically, as you are concluding with your tashahhud, you come to the point where you read, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min a'adhab al-qabr, wa min a'adhab al-nar, wa min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat, wa min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal." You make these du'as. And at this point, so these scholars are of the opinion that this is the crucial point for you to make du'a. So the Arabic du'as that you know, you can now insert them at this point. So either way, whichever opinion, and to be on the safe side, it's best to go with both. We seize both windows. We seize both windows. Just before the salam and after the salam as well, because we have scholars on both sides, mashallah. And then we have another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tells us in regards to the crowing of the rooster. Now before I go further, you should know that these are not my words. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does Allah Azza wa Jalla say in regards to him in Surah An-Najm?
وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ.
He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not speak out of his own desires. You and I, we speak of our own desires from our pockets. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not speak out of his own desires. What he speaks in regards to the deen, in regards to Islam, in regards to the deen of Allah, is something that has been revealed unto him. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. It has been revealed unto him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is an authentic hadith, either in Bukhari or Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you see the rooster crowing, the rooster crowing, then seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the rooster is crowing because it has seen an angel. Now for those of us living in, you know, this urban settings, it's rare to hear a rooster crowing except for on your mobile phones and alarm clocks. But if you do go to the rural areas, and perhaps you're passing by a village or whatever it is, and you hear the rooster crowing, you spend a night and you hear the rooster crowing, seize the opportunity to make dua as per the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And mashallah, it is the rainy season now. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects our country as well as the neighboring countries from natural disasters. But yet, the point being, rainy season, hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd ibn Sa'idi radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that when it rains, the dua that is put forth when it is raining is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. When it is raining, the dua that you put forth is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the dua of a traveler is answered by Allah azza wa jalla. The dua of a traveler. So perhaps you're traveling, you're flying, you are undertaking a long journey, you're considered a traveler. At this point, you need to seize the opportunity to put forth dua, to compose du'as, to send forth your requests unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said in regards to prostration, in regards to sujood, talking about sujood, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that that posture is the closest unto the Lord, unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are in sujood, you are the closest unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore make excessive dua in sujood. So therefore you are in sujood, you can make a dua. You can make dua, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talks about individuals. It is upon us to fear the dua of an oppressed individual. We need to fear the dua of an oppressed individual, because there is no barrier between that individual's dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are being oppressed, raise your hands and your dua will be answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, you need to be cautious, you need to be wary of oppressing others, because if they pray against you, then the dua will be answered by Allah. And in the hadith, there is no specification as to whether the person needs to be a Muslim, or as to whether the dua of a person of another faith will be answered. As per the wording, the dua of the person of other, or the dua of the persons of other faiths, if they are oppressed by you and if they pray against you, it will be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the hadith that has been recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, even if the oppressed individual is an evildoer, even if he or she is an evildoer, their du'as will be answered, because their evil doing is in regards to themselves. The du'a is in regards to the oppression that they are undergoing. So therefore, we need to be careful that we do not oppress people, oppress the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us all. And then the du'a of the father for his child / children. As per the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no barrier. So likewise, as parents, as fathers, we need to be careful that we don't pray against our children, because that too is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times in fits of rage, we pray against our children. We call them names, we insult them. See, there used to be a teacher of the past where at times, even if he were to become angry with his child, he would call his child, you know, in a good way. He would scold the child in a good way. Oh, you genius, why are you doing this? Or you intelligent individual, why are you doing this? Instead of calling him the opposite of it, where you would scold a person as being stupid or a fool or an ignorant individual. Now, this in a way can at times turn out to be a curse against the child. And then we have the dua of the children for their parents. This too is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you can see, my dear brothers in Islam, there are so many beautiful points in regards to dua. And then we have places as well. We have places as well. For example, the dua is made on the plains of Arafah, answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua made between the Ruknul Yamani and the Hajrul Aswad, the black stone. You know, when you're making tawaf, as you circumambulate the Kaaba, as you pass Ruknul Yamani, the Yemeni corner, and as you make your way towards the Hajrul Aswad, the black stone, you're supposed to read, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar, where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good life in this world, a good life in the hereafter, and for Allah to protect you from the fire of Jahannam. This dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to seize these crucial timings, crucial places, and compose duas, make dua. And at times, for example, you have one more important timing on a Friday, known as Sa'atul Istijaba. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, on Fridays there is this special timing, and he went on to indicate with his fingers, you know, showing how short a window it is. On Fridays there is this special timing. If the dua of a believer coincides with that timing, the dua is not rejected, it is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some scholars were of the opinion that it is just before Jumu'ah. Some are of the opinion that it is the timing that is, it is the short timing in between when the imam sits down between the two sermons. That is the window. That is basically the timing that you need to make, put forth your du'as. And some are of the opinion that it is the last hour of Friday. So it's about an hour before Salatul Maghrib. So it is important for us as believers to try and secure all these windows. And at times you're busy perhaps, and you're not able to compose a lengthy du'a. Keep this dua in mind. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. It is a dua that wraps up everything in a nutshell. And this was taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where you're asking Allah for a good life in this world, a good life that includes a good house, a good source of income, a good social status, a good vehicle, a good family, all of it. And then you're asking Allah a good life in the hereafter. His pleasure, Jannah, and all of what Al-Akhirah entails in a good sense. And then you are wrapping off the dua by saying, وَقِنَا عَذَابَنَا, O Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us seize these windows. Let us seize these crucial places and timings to compose duas. And likewise, let us spend some time to articulate our du'as in an eloquent way, to put forth our requests unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a beautiful way, instead of droning away in regards to our du'as in a monotonous fashion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand the importance of du'a. May Allah azza wa jal help us to better our relationship with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah azza wa jal ease the affairs of the Muslims locally as well as internationally. May Allah azza wa jal ease the situation of our country. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our country to move forward from strength to strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as how He unites us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'waya, anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khairah.